morning and welcome back to 501C TV. I'm your host, Janelle Harris, and this is the podcast that talks to system change leaders, thought leaders, nonprofits, and nonprofit partners to find out what is new and exciting in the world of our nonprofit friends. And today in studio, I'm very excited to have with me, we have two guests from the Women's Foundation of Florida. We have Takeda King-Pang and Jennifer Krishka. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I'm very excited to have you guys on here we were talking off camera, a mom to daughters. Anything with women's empowerment and moving women and girls ahead in this world makes me super excited. So we have a lot to talk about today. I'm going to have you guys first introduce who you are, what you do with Women's Foundation of Florida, and then we'll kind of get into what Women's Foundation is all about because I think it's really important.
Awesome. Well, I guess I can start.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm the executive director of the Women's Foundation of Florida. Mm-hmm. I actually joined the organization in 2017 as a volunteer staff member.
Awesome.
And prior to that, starting in 2009, I actually volunteered with the organization various programs and then was brought on as the first full-time staff member in 2019.
Really? Congratulations.
Thank you.
What kind of volunteer stuff did you do with them?
So I used to help. Well, I still help, but we run the Girls Leadership Institute, our STEAM Academy, and at the time in 2012-2013, I helped create the Women on the Run program that's become our flagship.
Oh, yes. I think a lot of people probably are very aware of that event. I see that all over, which is really great. The more people that know about it, the better. So
I come from a background of a lot of political advocacy campaigns, mm-hmm. working in the legislature, the government, and so I bring that perspective very much to the work at the Women's Foundation. And it was a huge opportunity when I was asked to step in as the first ever executive director for the organization, just around our 10th anniversary as an organization.
So exciting. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
I love that.
I am super excited to have my colleague here today. She actually just joined us in December of this year.
Awesome. Jennifer, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Thanks. So I am the chief operating officer.
Okay.
And before this, I was with Horizon, which was a different women's organization, mm-hmm. and we partnered with the Women's Foundation a lot over the years, and so Takeda and I have known each other for a pretty long time, I think, at this point. Mm-hmm. So
that makes it easy. It's kind of like working with your friends.
Yes.
Which is super fun.
Yes, especially when there's only two of you.
Yeah. doing a lot, I'm sure. So,
yes.
That's really cool. So tell what exactly, what maybe one of you or both of you can explain what the Women's Foundation does. Because there's a lot to it. And we're going to dive in and get to all the things that you guys do. But maybe, you know, what the mission is and why it's so important here.
Takeda, I'll let you take this part.
Okay. So the Women's Foundation of Florida was really built on the cornerstone of leadership. And that all women and girls are leaders.
Yep.
They just need to be empowered to recognize that in themselves.
Sure.
Because all leadership looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the core of all of our programs and activities. But our mission statement, which is very near and dear to me, is that we educate and empower women and girls to be leaders so that they can change how the world works.
Awesome. And now, if I remember correctly, when I was reading up about you guys, it started just in Palm Beach, and then it got so big and popular that now it's like the entire state.
Yes.
Right?
So we were founded right here in Palm Beach County mm-hmm. in 2007. Our co-founders, Judith Selzer and now Judge Samantha Schossberg-Fuhr, met at a Hadassah meeting, decided, how does Palm Beach County not have a women's foundation? And just a few weeks later, these women had the organization up and running. And it was run for a decade by just community organization mm-hmm. or community members and women that wanted to empower each other and girls.
Sure. So would they do that through just like networking events and like just kind of community events that they put together? Like nothing really like formalized, right, at that point?
Oh, these are very organized women. Yeah. So yes, it was very formalized. But we actually, our flagship program that we began with was our Girls Leadership Institute.
Okay, got it.
And it literally started with 25 girls in the cafeteria at Pace Center for Girls in West Palm Beach.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then the last time we held our full Leadership Institute, which is full day from 9 to 5, it was over 200 girls at Palm Beach Gardens campus at Palm Beach State.
Okay, and now are you guys pulling a certain age group, or what does that look like, that age range?
The focus is has been around middle and high school, so awesome. We really keep that open. When we switched, though, to a more of a focus on the STEAM activities, we know statistically that if you get girls really excited about the STEM fields in middle school, it's more likely to carry through high school and through college. And so a lot of our STEM activities have focused a little bit more on the younger ages.
And maybe, Takeda, you can tell us a little bit, because I think this is, when I read these statistics, like in a lot of the newspapers and magazine articles about like girls and women going into like STEAM-based professions, the numbers are so low. But I know they're climbing and they're getting better because of initiatives like this. But what are some of the statistics around girls in those types of fields? Like, it's really low.
It is very low. I think what's really powerful is that we partner with women who are currently in those STEM fields. Yeah. And so not only are they putting on these programs to educate young women on the opportunities, but they're seeing people that look like them.
Which is
and
huge.
That makes such a difference. And we've partnered with a great example, I think it was February of this year, Yanoptic is based in Jupiter, and they create optical lenses.
Yeah, they manufacture them.
Yes.
Like an optical lens manufacturer.
But the coolest piece is that they manufactured the lenses that are currently on Mars inside the Mars rover.
That's so cool.
And we met the people who worked on them. We got to see where these things were created, as well as all of the other amazing things. They create all of the lenses for the rides at Universal and Disney.
That's neat.
And so just really, as an adult, being able to participate in those type of opportunities is really amazing. But I can see it in the young women as they go through the program of like, wow, this is like real. And we were sitting in the room with the CEO of the organization, and he was explaining to us how they're taking samples on Mars. And one of the students raises their hand, and we're like, well, how are they going to get the samples back? And then he explains it, and I'm literally just sitting there rapt.
No. Even as an adult, you're like, wowed. And I think it's really cool and important, too, that like that's happening right in our backyard. So sometimes I feel like, even me as a kid, you would hear and see these things, and you're like, oh, that's so out of touch. Like, I could never be involved in that because that's like, you know, so far away, or I couldn't possibly be able to be involved in that. So I think that's really important that it's going on right here in our backyard. And, you know, like you said, girls have an opportunity to see that and say, oh, well, I could see myself doing that. You know, that person looks like me, reminds me of me. That could be me. So I think that's really neat.
I have an amazing young person who's been part of our STEAM Academy for years, and they reached out and let me know that they actually just started an internship at NASA.
Oh my gosh. So that's where my brain was going next, because NASA, again, is so close to us. Like, my kids are always like, Mom, like, NASA's right there. Like, it's right up. It's so close, only a couple hours from us. And I said, I know. And there's a lot of opportunities being here in Florida and the schools that are here that partner with them and all this other stuff. So that's going to be so rewarding, though, like, to see that start to finish and somebody make it to that point. So
absolutely,
that's really cool. Do you get like some of the girls that come back and speak and like volunteer back?
We're not quite there yet. The STEAM Academy started in 2005.
Okay.
So we're kind of getting there.
Yeah.
We're starting to have students who went to college and are now coming back, but they're kind of at the beginnings of their careers.
For sure.
But we do get a lot of emails from students, especially as they're graduating high school, letting us know like, thank you so much. This inspired me. I'm going pre-med here or microbiology there. And so I have a whole folder in my email.
I was going to say, like, it's got to be fun to just kind of, like, keep tabs and see what everyone's up to, which is really cool. Now, as far as, like, getting the girls involved in the programs that you guys have, are you partnered up with schools, or how do you find those girls that are able to come to you and participate in these programs?
So it's a little bit of both community engagement. We do a lot of collaboration and partnership with organizations around the county.
Okay.
And around the state. And then we also have really good relationships specifically with the school district of Palm Beach County.
Okay.
And we've started making inroads in Broward as well.
Oh, that's so awesome. Okay, very cool. So you've got your leadership program. And then what are some of the other programs that you guys have here? I know there's a few here that you mentioned, but I want to make sure we cover those.
Jen, do you want to talk a little bit about our professional development programming?
Sure. So our professional development committee and our networking is really to educate professional women from whatever industry that they're in to, one, provide a space where they are with like other women, right, who are professional, who are ambitious and focused on their career, for that kind of support. Because I do think that having a like women-only space for networking is really important.
Yeah.
the comfort level, I think, is really important for women in that kind of space. So we have our networking events, and then the other kind of aspect of that is trying to provide education that is relevant to anyone who is just like trying to move up or trying to like find ways to like build their career. Mm-hmm. So it's like providing like educational workshops for them.
Yeah, which is really cool because I, you know, I think about like women as a whole, like the unique challenges that they face as sure. women in the workplace and, you know, having a career and all those things. It probably would be very nice to have like a group of like-minded women to just kind of bounce those ideas off and
yeah.
share kind of the same experiences.
Yeah, it definitely
really cool.
is. I mean, like, even though we've made a lot of progress, I think in a lot of ways we're still seeing same challenges, mm-hmm. like work-life balance or like managing childcare. Like, women are still primarily the person that is yes. responsible for that, and so like trying to juggle that and. Seeing companies who are starting to take a look at like schedules, right? And like, why does the work have to be done from 9 to 5, mm-hmm. right? Like, if getting the work done well is what matters, I think like being able to see employers who are open to work at 2 a.m, like if that's what works for you, which yeah. especially for like for parents, right? Like, that makes a big difference.
Yes, it does. Speaking from experience, I know this to be true. And it's funny, I actually came to, I was at a networking event here in the studio, and it's funny because sometimes you feel like, you know, you get in your routine and you're like on an island kind of by yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you get together with a bunch of other like moms that are working and you're like, we are all in the right. same boat. We're all doing the same thing. So I think that's really neat. And I would find that that would probably be the case too with, you know, getting like a bunch of like girls together that maybe have the same goals, but they don't really know how to get there. But you get them all together and they start talking and you just feel a little more empowered that, you know, you can get that. So I think it's really neat that you guys offer these programs and super successful. And
thank you.
This has been around for a long time. So yes. what are some of the other things that are initiatives for you guys moving forward? What do you want to see change in the next 5-10 years?
A lot of things.
A short list, I guess.
So one of the things that I personally really love about the Women's Foundation is not only are we empowering individuals, but mm-hmm. we are really working to create systemic change for yes. gender equity. So when we talk about professional development programming, yes, we're bringing the women together, but we're also coaching them and working with them on how to approach salary negotiations mm-hmm. and how to talk about paid leave in their companies and advocate for the things that we as women need to be successful.
Right. And I think that's huge because also, you know, if you come from a background and maybe your parents are not in a professional type right. setting, who do you have to talk you through that and give you guidance? You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. I came from working class parents. Mm-hmm. And so I was the first person in my entire family on both sides to go to college.
Yeah.
And then get a job and a career. And fortunately, our co-founder, Judith Felzer, was one of my supervisors at one of my jobs. And she taught me a lot about salary negotiation mm-hmm. and really looking out for myself because they offered me a salary. And I was like, great, I'll take it.
Right.
No.
She's like, let's backtrack here. But what an amazing mentor to have to help you through that. I mean, that's why I think it's such a gift that these girls that go through these programs that you offer have that, because where else would they get that?
We have kind of my baby. It's the Women on the Run program. It's our nonpartisan campaign training and mentorship program. And it started in about 2012. One of our first graduating classes included our co-founder, Samantha Schausberg-Fjord.
Okay.
And then she ran for judge and won.
Awesome.
So we have probably, I think we're up to 4 or 5 board members we've lost because they've actually moved to elected service.
Right.
It is a great problem to have. Mm-hmm. But we really take such pride in this program because it teaches women how to run for office, but not just, okay, here's how you run, but here's how you run and you win. Mm-hmm. And then once they're successful, we have a program called our Network of Elected Women, which brings together current women who are serving in public office. And sometimes it's like Vegas, right? What happens in the circle stays in the circle.
That's so funny.
But it's part support group because being an elected woman is a very unique experience.
Right.
And so having other women who really understand that makes such a difference. And then they also work together on policies and collaboration. So example, in Hallandale Beach a number of years ago, they passed paid leave for their employees in the
okay.
municipality. Mm-hmm. She then got on our call and we gave her an entire hour and she did a presentation. Here's what I did. Here are all the templates. Here's who I talked to.
That's amazing.
And then we had multiple other cities that then work to implement it. And
so
it's,
cool.
It's so huge because that's the type of systematic change we see that directly affects women.
Absolutely. And I think that's so cool because, again, it's like, you know, women helping other women, and it just makes the whole community better if everybody can grow together and not recreate the wheel every time. You know, if somebody's doing something that's working, let's recreate that and make sure that everybody has the opportunity to do that. So I think that's awesome. I love that program because I would never have the guts to run for politics.
Everybody says that, but you know,
it's pretty cool. I mean, if you really are, it's in your passion to be out there and be a change maker, then that's the route to go. And
I'd say at least half of the women who take the program each year say, I'm not
right.
here to run.
Exactly.
I just want to learn.
Right.
And it's a great way to learn about something that's very shrouded in mystery
yeah.
for most people.
Yeah.
Yes. Campaigns are a beast of their own.
Mm-hmm. Right. So even if you want to work on a campaign,
totally.
Right, then the program is really valuable to go through.
Yeah.
Or advocate for mm-hmm. an issue for your nonprofit. And I think what's really telling, though, is we've trained over 600 women since the program started.
That's amazing.
As
That's
we sit
to
today, we have another week before all of the another couple weeks before mm-hmm. all the qualifying deadlines end for 2024. But as of today, we have 40 women who have graduated from our program who are on the ballot in 2024.
That is amazing. You guys, that's
very, yes, thank you.
That's a lot of women, so that makes me super excited and thrilled because I am seeing more and more of this, and I have a funny story that I'll share in a minute, but again, also to just have that that sense of people like backing you up and trying to get you to the next level, I think is really important. It's cool. I love like women cheering other women on, and I think that's
us
so,
too.
It's so important. It really is, and I feel like sometimes that's all you need is just that extra little like push, because I think sometimes as women we just naturally like tell ourselves like I couldn't do that. I'm not
yes.
good enough for that, or I couldn't do that. I'm not qualified enough.
Yes.
On average, a woman has to be asked at least 7 times to run for office before they'll even consider it. And even then, they'll find ways to talk themselves out of it.
So there was an event that I went to recently for a woman here in Palm Beach County. I won't say what she's running for because I don't want to like give her away and oust her in this. But she's like an amazing, incredible woman. And so at this like roundtable of like women like business leaders, they were asking her like, what's like your one stress when you're like going out to like talk mm-hmm. and speak? And she's like, honestly, she goes, what I'm gonna wear. She goes, I'm the only woman in my my pool that,
right.
that I'm running against all these men. She goes, I can tell you that as a woman, it's like, if what I'm wearing is too tight, is too tight. If it's not tight enough, then it's frumpy. And if,
right.
you know, am I wrinkled? Did I ride in the car too long and now I'm wrinkled? And she goes, and I can
right.
tell you that my male counterparts don't have that challenge. They just grab their suit and go. So
yeah.
it was
no,
really...
No, it's unfortunate
yeah,
that looks is such a component
it
for
really
women.
It really is. And
yeah.
it was like a really down-to-earth, like just a refreshing kind of like funny way that she told it too, because it's so simple, but it's, you know, it's just something that... as a woman, you have to deal with. And
right.
So she told us a lot, you know, about some of the things that she was dealing with and deciding to run. And I was like, wow, it's pretty crazy. It's a lot. It's a lot. So I commend all of those ladies that are out there doing that on the ballot. So really cool. Okay, so Women Run, we talked about. Women and Girls Leadership. What else? I'm missing one.
We have our advocacy, our statewide advocacy
okay,
work.
This is what I'm thinking of. So tell me about this, because this is huge. I mean,
yes.
when we talk about making changes like long-term and systemically, let's talk about
yes.
this.
So one of the big things that we realized very early on in the need for advocacy work around women and girls, specifically at the state level, is that we have something in Florida that happens all the time where they call unintended consequences. So they pass a bill and then they're like, oopsie, it's doing this bad thing.
Okay.
And so we have a lot of those specifically that are affecting women and girls.
Okay.
There are a lot of policies that are going through without being reviewed through a gendered lens of how does this affect women
sure.
and girls.
It's just a broad brush. Like passing of a bill.
Yes. So even though our state legislature, we're actually number 12 in the U.S. for the largest number of women, and we have one of the only female states or Senate presidents.
I did not know
but
this.
The people that hold the majority of the leadership roles, the chairs on all the committees, they are majority male.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really missing that kind of lens of women. And so we started our statewide advocacy program really focused on just kind of being a presence in Tallahassee, letting folks know know, like, hey, we're paying attention to everything that you're doing that can affect women and girls. And then, of course, we've picked some priority pieces of legislation. So the first one that we were really focused on starting in 2020 was period poverty. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks don't realize actually 3 in 4 students go without period products each month, and they can miss up to a month of school every month during the school year, which is a lot of time outside of class.
Right?
And that doesn't include the things that they're missing in terms of extracurriculars, which is really important to their educational opportunities. And so we actually started working with a student who had a program through Philanthropy Tank, which is a local organization, and she got funding. And so we brought together groups of students around the state who met weekly on Zoom during the pandemic. We were having meetings with elected leaders during the pandemic via Zoom, and we actually were able to get a bill filed for 3 full years. And then the bill passed unanimously in 2023, in great part due to the Senate president and a really strong female leader, Senator Lauren Book, who was the Democratic leader in the House or in the Senate. And then we had Kelly Skidmore in the House who was pushing it through. And so we were able to pass a piece of legislation with student power that affects students directly.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, and nothing could be more empowering to, like, a teenager than, like, hey, I did this, and I took it all the way, you know, all the way up the chain to the Senate and got it passed, which is amazing. So that's really cool. How do you guys keep tabs on, like, what's going in and out of legislature so you know? Do you have, like, a team that just kind of follows, like, you?
Yeah, Sakita's our team on that.
There's your team right here.
Well, and we're actually part of a large number of different coalitions.
Okay, because so, I was wondering, I'm like, that's a lot to, like, keep tabs on. Like, how do you know which ones to really, like, hold on to and
so yes,
try to
we work in coalitions. So we have certain organizations that are focused on LGBT issues, on reproductive rights, on children's work. Like, and so we all meet regularly during session, and everyone updates on their specific issues. We, as the Women's Foundation, actually manage what we call the Florida Healthy Youth Alliance, which is a coalition of education and medical professionals focused on ensuring that comprehensive, medically accurate sex education is provided in schools.
Got it. That's so cool. See, this is, like, one thing I don't think a lot of people, like, realize, like, behind the scenes. When you mention, like, coalitions, there are so many of these that just, you need them to, like, keep an eye on everything that's going on out there.
And it allows us to really amplify our impact and reach more people. I mean, for years, it was me and my computer here in Palm Beach County during a pandemic trying to have...
With so many hours in the day to, like, go on and research and find all this
and
stuff.
So many nonprofits are so small, you know, like we are with just a staff of 2. And so if you don't have coalitions, then it makes it so much harder to really have an impact.
Yeah, empower numbers. If you guys can all, like, kind of group together and you're fighting the same cause, then you do it together and pool your resources and your talent and make an impact.
Yes,
clearly,
definitely.
Which is really cool. That's very exciting.
We have amazing women across the state.
Yeah, I love that. What else? What's, like, the last thing you want people to know before we get into your events?
Into our events.
Yeah.
Well, fundraising is really
of course, a
big part, big part of what I do. And sort of what's always top of mind for me. And so I'm, you know, I'm always trying to emphasize our programs are no cost or relatively low cost because we want them to be accessible to women from every background. But that means we really need to do a lot of fundraising in order to support, you know, our ability to provide these programs. So, of course, like, the fundraising piece is really, really important. And, you know, corporate sponsorship and individuals who want to support our work, like, that, it helps tremendously. Like, nonprofits, like, you know, live and die by their fundraising, unfortunately. Yeah. So
what's so you guys just had a big event.
We did just
a week or so ago
on Monday, actually.
So tell me about this one, because after everyone watches this, you're going to follow. We're going to all follow Women's Foundation of Florida so we can be up on all of the events that they're doing. But tell me about this one, because it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, so very exciting. So our Raise the Bar luncheon was actually this Monday. Very exciting. So we were at the Canopy downtown West Palm.
I love that place.
Yes. So we had a wonderful panel who was moderated by Holly Davis from WPTV.
Awesome.
And our panel consisted of women who basically are alums from different programs, our business boot camp, Women on the Run, and then one of the women is really working with our girls in the advocacy program, and they were just highlighting how going through these programs have really made such a huge impact on them and allowed them to be successful in the ways they were trying to be successful. And then we also gave our Judith Selzer Icon Award to Congresswoman Lois Frankel.
Oh, yay. Awesome. Okay, good. That's fun. I love that.
Yes.
Very cool. And I also think, you know, one important thing too, like you guys having such visibility just in the community. I mean, as business owners and businesses all around the area and the state, like, I think it brings a lot of visibility to them too, to be able to say, hey, what policies do I have within my own company here and how can I change those to be more progressive and,
sure,
and kind of, you know, get up to speed and make sure that everything that I'm doing is fair and equitable. So I think that's really cool. And I, you know, when, as I was going through all your stuff, I was thinking on a, from a business perspective, that if nothing else, like it also helps change that whole landscape of just our community and all the businesses around here. So I'm sure that, yes, they are super involved, and if they're not, they should be, so they can.
Yes, we agree. We'd love more businesses to be involved, yeah, with us.
Yeah, so, for sure. So if you're a business and you're watching, get involved. And, you know, even for just like speakers and stuff, I'm sure, like,
always,
you,
yes,
know, if there's companies around here that have like awesome policies in place that they want to talk about to kind of spread the knowledge to some other ones, I think that would be really cool. Okay, so we just had that, and then what else do we have? You said summertime, you're kind of regrouping and getting everything ready for the
Right,
the
I would
fall.
Say summer tends to be slower, yeah, right? We have a lot of seasonal, yeah, folks who live here, and, you know, school's out, so people are traveling. So we will still continue to do our professional development networking over the summer. Mm-hmm. We have a fundraiser coming up with Kendra Scott.
Kendra Scott. Who doesn't love Kendra Scott?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I'm a big fan.
Me too.
So we are partnering with the Kendra Scott in the Meisner Park location.
Cool.
So on the 22nd from 5 to 7, if you come in, so it's actually at the Meisner location.
Oh, in the Meisner location, at Kendra,
yes,
Scott.
Yes, exactly, in the store. So if you are thinking of getting some jewelry, that would be a great time to stop by, because we'll receive 20% of whatever the purchases are during the 2 hours, plus there's an online code.
That's awesome. They're so good like that. They do this a lot, and it makes me really happy because,
yes,
obviously it's a company owned by,
yes,
by,
yes,
a woman, and she just does so much cool stuff. I follow her online. I'm like, this is awesome. So, okay, good. So let's go out and buy some jewelry and support Women's Foundation of Florida. And anything else? We are, like, seriously almost out of time, which makes me crazy. But what is, like, one thing you want people to just take away and know about Women's Foundation of Florida?
Hmm.
Or what's, like, the most... What,
I know. So many things.
What about, like, a story? What's, like, I always like to give a good story. You gave a great story earlier, too, about the NASA, about your girl going to NASA.
Yes.
What's another good one? Leave us on a good, like, one of your favorite stories to come out of this. I'm sure there's a ton.
I have so many.
I know.
Well, I will just, I know you mentioned, like, oh, I don't want to run for office. And so we had someone who was a community partner,
okay,
who was a community partner with us on Women on the Run. We work with a lot of partnerships in that event. And she was the president, and she joined as, like, I just want to see what this is about because, you know, we're telling our members to join. And now she's on the ballot for the state legislature. But she sat in that meeting saying, I'm not running for office.
I think that's funny. It's great. I think it's phenomenal. Like, if you have any, like, inkling to do it and you just want to check it out, I think that's really cool. That's a cool program. And they can find information about that on your website?
Yes.
Okay, so on Women's Foundation Florida website, you can check that out. We need more women in office. So if you're
always
out there even considering it, then feel free. I thank you both so much for joining here today. We could go on. You should come back for sure. And
thank you.
Anything for, like, women's empowerment and advancing women in Florida and beyond is just so necessary and so needed. So I appreciate you both being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, and we will put up all of your socials so everyone can follow along. And keep an eye on Women's Foundation Florida. They've been around a long time and going to do more good stuff. So
thank you
for joining. Well, that's it for this time on 501c TV, and we want to give a special thank you to both Takeda and Jennifer for joining us today from Women's Foundation Florida, and also a big special thank you always to Kana House Studios, Wellington's first and only social content creation studio. And we will see you next time on 501c TV.